You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What's good, Lamb Goaters? It is your host, Lurk, here, and thank you for tuning into this episode of the podcast. If this is your first time here, we welcome you to the Van Flip. If not, go ahead and give this a retweet, a share, or something like that to let your friends know you're listening to us. If you're listening to us on a platform, you can give us a rating. Just go ahead and give us a 5-star thumbs up or whatever the highest thing is you can. It definitely helps us out in the algorithm of the podcast world. Visit lambgoat.com to stay up to date on news, releases, and announcements from around the hardcore metal world. Follow Lambgoat on social media. Give us a like on Facebook and follow us on both Twitter and Instagram at Lambgoat. We also started a Twitter account to better interact with you guys directly from the podcast. Go follow VanFlip Podcast on Twitter. Tweet us what you think about the show and who our next guest should be. If you are interested in watching podcasts instead of listening to podcasts, all of our episodes are available to watch on Lambgoat's YouTube channel. So subscribe and make sure you get notified when new episodes are released. Speaking of YouTube, we just started a new series where we film live sets from bands. So make sure you head over to YouTube and check some of those out. I'd like to take a quick second to shout out our Patreon supporters. So once again, Dylan and Lachlan, thank you for supporting us. You guys rock and you guys are awesome. We appreciate it very much. If you would like to become a Patreon supporter, not only do you help improve and grow the show, but you also get early access to episodes. And now you can get early access to all of our live sets before they are released. You also get an invite to the private Discord chat, some Lambgoat swag, and more. We'll even shout you out on the podcast for as long as you are a supporter. Visit patreon.com/thevanflip for more info. And one final announcement. For those who have been interested in Van Flip merch, we now have a live web store. So go grab a shirt, sweatshirt, coffee mug. You can find the link in our Instagram bio, in the description of this podcast, and in the description of all of our YouTube podcasts, or on our Facebook. On this episode of the podcast, we have Lowell and Nick from Deathwish Inc.'s Frail Body.
Oh yeah, what's this? I feel this. Oh yeah, this is stuff. Oh no. Oh no. Lambgoat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
What is good, Goat Flippers? It is your host, Lurk, here. And I am joined with Lowell and Nick from the Rockford, Illinois band, Frail Body. How are you dudes doing tonight?
Tired.
Doing great, man.
Great.
Yeah.
You just drove in from?
Charleston.
And boy, are your arms tired.
Yeah.
You were playing Charleston last night, though?
Yeah. No, it was great. We played at Big Gun. Weird name for a bar, but it's a really sick place. It was packed out. I've never even been there before, like, into that entire state. So, no friends or anything, and just seemed like the whole town showed up, and it was like, what the fuck? Okay, cool. Like, it was amazing.
It was a really good first show out there. It was pretty rad.
Were you playing with anybody you're playing with tonight, or are you just...
Yeah, with Harbor Lights.
Okay.
We're on a little tour with them, just going down to Florida, and, well, actually, yeah, here. It's been a bit. Yeah. We're going back up, and then we're just parting ways. We're doing some more stuff around the Midwest, around our home area, and then heading home.
Are you guys both on Deathwish?
Yes, we are.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I knew you guys were, and we'll get into that later, but, I didn't know if Harbor Lights were. Anyway, so you guys are relatively like a new kind of band. You were formed, I mean, we just kind of passed your 3-year anniversary of your band being a thing. So
yeah,
how's it been, you know, in these 3 years? Like,
I don't know. You want to?
Yeah. It's been super cool. The last year especially has been insane because, like, we signed and we've just met so many cool people, gotten to do pretty much the entire country now, which is insane. Lowell and I have been playing together for like 10 years. So it's cool to have a project that is doing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, we've got a collective 35 years of experience in all of us playing. And, well, Clemenson's other bands were pretty successful, but our bands, I mean, we're kind of, you know, It was struggling to get anywhere. So it's interesting being like, all right, we're almost 30. Maybe it's time to hang up the hat. And it's like, oh, okay, never mind. I guess we'll do this for another few more.
Yeah, the carrot gets dangled right in front of you. And you're like, okay, I'll keep going.
Yeah. So it's been really cool. I mean, it's made personally, well, I mean, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think this is a good thing that we're all just kind of it's put everything into perspective. So like every single person that like knows our lyrics and we hear them, or like any interactions, even just online, people tweeting at us, I'm just like, somebody cares. What? You know, so it's cool. We're just extremely thankful.
It's like a weird reality when that starts happening.
Yeah, 100%, just imposter syndrome. Like, what the hell? What is my life?
Yeah. So you guys are from the Rockford area. How would you describe, I mean, like, because you got, again, a lot of people may not know who you are or may not have heard of you yet. So, like, if you were to describe your, like, sound, because you just got signed to Death Wish and they are, you know, they're a decent label. They have a long, you know, a longevity within the scene as well. So, like, how would you describe yourselves, you know, to the average listener?
We take after a lot of what people would call screamo, like OG screamo, stuff from the 90s, Portraits of the Past, Funeral Diner, Satia, bands like that. It's kind of a dirty word, or it was a dirty word. I think it's losing that connotation now, but yeah, if you want to.
I guess like a more modern band we could compare it to would be like Early Pianos Become the Teeth, like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just aggressive and sad.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, aggressive, sad. Yeah.
So how was it, how was it starting out for you guys? Because you said you were in bands with each other for at least 10 years. So, like, what made you decide to go this direction? Because you guys are a three-piece, correct, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, so what made you all decide to, you know, band together and make this style of music? What were you doing before as well?
We've been trying to make one of these damn bands stick for so long. We've been in screamo bands before.
We've been in the same screamo band before.
Twice.
Yeah. But we tried like post rock and a bunch of other like indie stuff. And I think like some of that kind of blends into what we're doing now too. It's not like strict screamo, I guess.
Yeah.
Your keys, just FYI.
Yeah. There's a lot of other things that we try and draw from, because, I mean, we don't necessarily want to fall into the same trope of just, you know, here's a panic chord and then here's the octave chord part, you know, dan, 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 and it's like, all right, everybody's done that before, you know, so, but we love Explosions in the Sky and we love This Will Destroy You and Caspian, and also, like, when we found out that Harbor Lights was going to be on Death Wish, I was like, let's fucking tour with them. I want to tour with a post-rock band so bad. Like, that has been my dream for, like, you know, so many years, to get out with a band in that genre, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, we just try and draw from everything. We listen to everything in the van. So we just try and incorporate more stuff into a genre that has already been beaten to death 20 years ago. So.
Yeah. Well, it definitely does. It sounds, because you guys, like I mentioned off the podcast before, you were on the New Metal Monthly podcast, Spotify playlist that we have at Lamgo here. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I initially heard of you, I think.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Plug it. I'll plug it here. It's in the description. You can click the link for that monthly playlist. We change it every month, obviously. But anyway, and then, like, I just followed you around. And I think I actually was sent your... that's how I actually got your album. I was sent it in advance. And I was like, oh, okay, check it out. And again, I probably checked it out because it was from Death Wish and your cover. You know,
Wow.
The two things just like lined up. And I was like, okay, I'll check it out. Because I mean, I get a lot of stuff, you know, advance sent to me and stuff. And it's all over. It could be like mainstream cock rock type shit all the way to like the greatest punk rock. So it goes all over. And I was like, I'll check it out because, you know, Death Wish and the album covers caught me. But, yeah, so that's how I got into you guys. And then, when I originally reached out for you guys to be on here, I was like, yeah, it'll be cool. And I didn't realize you guys were relatively, like, this new of a band, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's cool. And we're trying to, you know, get younger bands on here in general as well so more people can find out about that. But so how was it signing to Death Wish in general?
That was the weirdest series of emails.
I should probably ask. Did you send them demos and shit like that?
Because we sent tweets. Actually.
Yeah, no, I literally, that is the only thing that has ever gone right when I've slid in someone's DMs. So, one of our friends, who is, in this band called Meth, that is also mm-hmm. in the Chicago area, if you're familiar with them, Richard from Meth, just like tweeted or texted me or something like that and was just like, hey, the Death Talk podcast, actually, yeah, we got signed off of a podcast pretty much. They were like, yeah, the Death Talk podcast, like, shouted you out. Here's the timestamp. Go listen to it. And I was like, what the hell? So, like, we went there. Allie from Death Wish, she found us on Spotify or Bandcamp or something like that and was just like, oh, yeah, they've got the EP out. It's pretty cool. So I was just like, holy shit. And I just went out into Twitter and tracked her down and mm-hmm. followed her and was just like, hey, thanks, like, we are working on something new, like, I don't know what it's going to be, but if you're interested at all. And she was like, yeah, sure, you can send it in if you want. I mean, I'm just looking for new music. So we sent it to her, and we sent, you know, we shopped around and we got responses back. We didn't think that was going to go anywhere. I was just like, yeah, here's some cool stuff, come hang out with us or whatnot, like, let's talk and whatnot. I'm not going to be like, sign us, please. You know?
Yeah.
So I was like, cool. We'll like try and DIY it. We'll try and work with some distros, which we've worked with in the past, with No Funeral Records, Zagima Beach, and a bunch of other
RIP and Peace.
Yeah, Rip and Peace Records, that are just like little distros. And we were like, let's put this one out. Then we'll try and like tour off it, and then maybe we'll eventually get there. But Allie like DM'd me back and was just like, hey, let's set up a phone conference. And I was like, okay.
We would always joke about like wanting to sign to Death Wish all the time because they're awesome, and then it just happened. So
what bands drew you to like Death Wish in the first place?
Let's see. Well, I mean, obviously Converge, but aside from that,
there's a tiny bit of Converge, like, I feel, for you guys.
Definitely. You Fail Me era Converge is fucking top tier. But
that's my favorite record. That's probably gonna get shit on, but that's my personal favorite.
That's
record.
Fine.
Ours too.
Okay.
Yeah. Heartless. Yeah. For real. Breakdown. Yeah. Sickest breakdown.
I can get the hate. I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, Sunbather is one of my favorite records of all mm-hmm. time. Touche Amour, mm-hmm. early Code Orange Kids. You know, all that stuff is
insane.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
So you kind of grew up with some, you know, decent background of music, I guess.
Yeah, and then also, I mean, obviously, like, Birds in Row and Loma Prieta and whatnot, they were bands that just kind of deepened that sort of connection, because, like, I would listen to Converge and I'd be like, oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that band. But then after finding some of those bands, Touche and all that, I was like, oh, this label like just puts out good stuff. Like,
yeah.
So
it's hard to like pin them down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why, like, and no offense to the band you're touring with, but like mm-hmm. you're similar, but also different in a lot of aspects. Yeah. The Harbor Lights band. Cause I checked earlier too.
And then mm-hmm. you look at like Greed Death is way different than mm-hmm. both of us, and they're insane too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They do put out quality stuff. Death Wish does for sure. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Damn, I just went blank, got lost on that, but anyway.
Yeah.
Norma Jean announced a little house tour today, and just lo and behold, you're playing a house show tonight.
Yep.
So that's interesting. You guys said that you play like a lot of house venues back home because your scene's kind of like loose or whatever and far and in between. How often do you play house shows like on tour?
It's probably like 50-50.
Yeah,
I'd say
it's shifting away from it, but we love house shows. I mean, it's just, I get nervous every once in a while, and I hate stages. So like I get nervous whenever we roll up into, you know, a situation where we're playing any sort of like larger room, and it just, the vibe just isn't quite there. I like being level with everyone. You know,
yeah, it's cool that there's no separation between band and audience, which mm-hmm. can bother people, like, if you're short and there's, like, a tall guy in front of you or whatever, but, like, yeah. But just the vibe as a performer is a lot better, I think,
yeah.
for me.
It's weird though, because like it's better for sound to have you up, obviously.
Yeah.
But as a performer, it's also like weird though, because you're on a stage and then you're like put up to.
Yeah. And house shows are always just. It's just so unpredictable. I mean, you could show up and, I mean, on the last tour that we were out with For Your Health, we literally played a living room that was half the size of this, like to the point where like it was just kids stood in the kitchen and just kind of watched the band do like just a live session almost, and, you know, and just isolated. And you never know what the room's going to look like. You never know who's going to show up. And it could be kind of a bummer, and if it is, whatever. But then, like, you could play some... We played a fucking sorority house in Indiana. And that was wild, because it was just, like, we couldn't find a date to fill out.
And that was, like, a last minute... Like, we got thrown on, and it wound up being like the most fun show of that tour.
Oh, yeah. It was insane. And it was just, like, we showed up. Nobody knows who we are. We were, like, the seventh band added. And they were just like, yeah, fuck it, sure. And we were like, okay, cool. And we rolled up. Like, we know nobody here. I can't even put, like, the booker's name to anybody around. We're just kind of like, here's an 810. Yeah. Like, how are we going to fit this down your stairs that are missing a couple? It's just, you don't know if somebody's going to go flying through a fucking window or punch a hole in a wall or like, you know, crowd surf into the fan or something. I don't know. It's always the craziest experiences there. So
it'll be interesting tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what, cause I've never even been to this venue. Like we said off camera, I've never been to this venue before. So, but it is labeled as a house venue, and it's like, yeah, we'll see what goes on. I mean, you can watch it on YouTube later, too, because we're going to film it, so you could definitely check that out.
Yeah.
Who knows? This could be some cool stuff for you guys, you know what I mean? Check it out. I remember my question when we were talking. Oh, yeah, the definition of screamo, you kind of labeled yourself as like a screamo type thing. I think a lot of people are going to think of a different type of screamo, obviously.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's not the kind of screamo that you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's why I say it, because then people are like, oh, it's like, it's this thing, and it's just like, no, that's wrong. Like, just go do your homework, it's fine. Like, we were all there at one point, it's okay. Like,
the screamo would not be on TRL, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The other kind would be.
Yeah. No, and has been, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you guys, I mean, we can get some info from you about touring, just because obviously this is going to come out after you announce it. So you have some tour announcements or tour announcement.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see, February 28th through the 15th or 16th of March, we're going to be doing a West Coast tour with, our friends in Modern Color, amazing band out of California. Also another band, if you like whatever we're doing with like the weird, it's screamo, but like also incorporates a lot of other weird stuff. They're a band that is like shoegazy screamo that has singing and clean parts and like
a lot of mathy stuff too.
Yeah. Really, really interesting band. So check them out. Oh, beat us.
I don't know.
So yeah, we're back at it now. We're getting ready for the house show tonight. You know what I mean? So, what were some of the bands, we already talked about some of the bands that you kind of like fashion yourself around, but what kind of music did you grow up on as far as like when you started finding your own route, like when you started like finding your own music? Cause you seem to have like a diverse background of like Deathwish bands. So like what else do you guys like grow up on?
You take that one.
So first. I'll start, and it's pretty lame, but like Victory Records, like Take Back Sunday, all that stuff.
For sure.
And
dude.
Then,
it's not lame.
It's not lame. I'll take it back. I love TBS.
Right up there too, I'm sure.
and then through that I found like Under Oath, and like, it was like right around there, Only Chasing Safety came out. There was a kid in an Under Oath shirt at my bus stop, and I was like, yeah, that looks sick, and that kid's cool, so I'm gonna look into this band. And then, yeah, so They're Only Chasing Safety just was in my car stereo forever when my mom would drop me off at shows.
Mm-hmm.
It was like my warm-up record for going to play indie rock and church music.
it's kind of like the same vibe almost, you know?
Yeah. And then, through that record, I wound up finding bands like Stacia and stuff like that. And then, like, Tim McTagg is really into Radiohead, so I got into Radiohead through that. And I blame Under Oath for my musical leanings now, I
guess. They're a great band, though, too.
Yeah.
No disrespect.
Almost kind of the same. I mean, I grew up listening to a lot of just radio, butt rock and stuff like that, and Linkin Park and some other bands like that. There's some good holdovers. Like, I love Chevelle. We play with Chevelle in the van.
I mean, yeah, there's all guilt. Trust me, we have the guilty pleasures, right?
Yeah.
Stained was, like, the best thing that we saw at that Louder Than Life tour. Right?
Yeah.
I was like, that was even possible, man.
Yeah, that guy's a Trump guy now.
Who, Aaron Lewis?
Yeah. It's wild. Yeah.
You didn't see that coming?
I just wasn't sure that, I don't know.
He's definitely pro-gun. Didn't he have a pro-gun shirt on at the festival? Yeah.
So like, it's fucking great. I love it. It's so funny. So yeah, I grew up liking that guy for a bit.
A Louder Than Life too.
Oh, so. Yeah.
They're not going to be playing as a three-piece, or they will be still, but the original guy is going to leave, isn't he?
Maybe.
No, you're the big Chevelle fan.
We just like the first two. I take that back.
I just like the red.
Okay, I just like the red.
No, I'm talking about Point Number One, dude. That record's way better.
I only know the red. Sorry.
Mine was This Type of Thinking. That was my favorite record by them. But anyways, that was like a year of my life. So it
sometimes
gets better.
You have to send the pain below. I get it.
Yeah, jeez. yeah, I kind of did the same thing though. I found Under Oath one day and, that made me get into heavier music. Well, I guess I listened to Slayer before that too, a little bit. And, but Under Oath was like that, you can like have some weird, sad angst and not just like, hatred.
Right.
And like, so I was like, okay, that connects with all my, 13-year-old hormones. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I mean, I remember what got me, like, personally into, like, this genre as a whole, the focused sort of weirdo sect of music that we're trying to go for, is this band called United Nations, mm-hmm. which is really weird because it's a super group.
Is that Daryl in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's, well, and they're like a collective at this point. I think like half of piano's become the teeth
situation,
is...
situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I can remember, like grindcore, kind of like weird noise.
Yeah, yeah, emo violence is what they call it, yeah. And that was like one of the things that I was in keyboarding class, and my friend was on Last.fm, and he like called me over, and he was like, this band is called United Nations. I was a huge NoFX and Rage Against the Machine, like, mm-hmm. fuck Bush, you know, guy. So I was like, anything political I was about. And he was like, yeah, there's this band, United Nations. He's like, their genre tag is emo violence. And I was like, what the fuck? And he was like, press play and put on the headphones. And I was like, I want to do this forever. I want to do this band, this music. Let's fucking go, you know?
Yeah.
And then 12 years later, we're right here.
It's weird how that kind of like checking out bands like that, you know, like, cause United Nations and just like a lot of like grindcore bands and just like noise bands to me are just very like, whoa, there's a lot going on. And I wonder like, and again, this is no disrespect to anybody, but like mm-hmm. the kind of person that actually like fully gets into that. And I'm like, I just want to know like, what do you, it's just, how does it click for you? Because it doesn't click all the time for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's only
few
and far between that I get, like, really into that kind of stuff. So,
yeah
it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. Different people are
into
all
that. I love Daryl, too.
All that.
So I wanted to be into that band so bad, but I was like, I can't be into it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, and that's like, we get the same thing for, like, you know, it takes, yeah, like what you were saying. It's music that's made for people that like it, and most other people are not necessarily going to get it, and you just take that shit in stride and just go, all right, well, if you don't want to buy the record, you don't want to buy the record. I don't care. I'm still going to keep on making it. And,
luckily for them, they all have like other projects though in that particular band.
They'll
have other projects that somewhat kind of like make money so they can like waste time on,
on
that. Cause if you're just trying to be that kind of band and that's the only thing you're trying to be, good luck.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, and that's why it's interesting that they have the collective sort of thing that they have, with everybody that's in that. But yeah, I mean, after that was, you know, then it was the whole wave with, you know, Touche, Defeater, Pianos and all that. Yeah. And that was really what made me find the scene for it. Mm-hmm. And not just necessarily going to the same church basement metalcore shows every weekend and whatnot, and seeing people that wanted to try and be Attack like over and over and Crab over core. Again. Yeah, exactly.
Is that a big Midwest thing? Is that? Cause every
oh, yeah.
It was huge and still is, actually. Yeah.
It started, I mean, Attack was from Ohio. And Attack and who else? There's like five or six of those bands that were at that level that all came out of like Cleveland and Akron.
Yeah.
And so it was like a thing that us as Midwesterners, sorry.
Yeah, every video I saw had like some hay bale or some feel. And
yeah.
And
it
was like crab corn hardcore.
Hair so. Swooped over one eye.
Yeah. Yep.
So how are you guys finding, like how are you finding new music back in the day, because like you were saying, your scene is kind of lackluster, and I'm only assuming like earlier in your life it was probably even worse. Or
well, Rockford like 10 years ago was pretty cool. We had like two pretty operational DIY houses and a bunch of churches, and bands would come through all the time. Like Touche came through with Defeater and
Birds in Row.
And Birds That's, in Row.
And Code Orange Kids. Yeah.
And
that show was fucking insane.
Yeah. And yeah. So we had like bands like Joie de Vie and like the Felix Culpa that are like both really amazing bands. And, you know, I hope, I don't know. Like, I was
thinking, motherfucking Cheap Trick, dude.
Oh, no. Cheap Trick, yeah. But I remember feeling like when we were 14 and 15 and we started like our first house venues, when mom and dad were like, yeah, you can book shows here or whatever. I remember feeling a big disconnect with the older bands in our scene, because
mm-hmm.
they would never play where we were booking, you know, they didn't do house shows.
Right.
So there was like two separate scenes, and in a weird way, I hope that's still happening now, and I'm just too old to know, because, you know, I really
yeah.
Because you're the old guys now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're the old farts now.
Yeah. So I hope somebody's bothering their parents and letting them book shows.
One of the coolest shows I ever played on tour was a basement show.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a thing, and it's
you can hang out afterwards too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, I remember like my senior year in high school, we booked Frameworks,
mm-hmm.
and like that was insane for us.
Oh man, we were talking. We just had Chris on from Sect, and didn't Converge play someone's like house down the street? Oh, Earth Crisis. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
There, he was talking about an Earth Crisis hardcore show or house show back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great, and it's something that we can do, because being up where we are, houses are just built with basements. It's not like, you know, Texas or whatever, where
or here.
You know, or here, yeah, nah, that's true. So it affords more opportunities, I don't know, our town has made a lot of really good art and really good music that nobody from our town gives a fuck about.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have had multiple bands that have signed to Counter Lucky Stars, which is like a big powerhouse of like an emo label.
Mm-hmm.
So playing that sort of like throwback early, like early Jimmy World sort of stuff. I mean, I've been in other fucking countries and brought up some bands from Rockford and had people that don't speak English be like, holy fuck, you know those guys, you know?
They lived on the street.
Yeah, exactly. I'd share an office with fucking Phil from God's Reflex.
We go to pizza night every Thursday and get drunk with Brandon Lumber.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, but it's the most cliche thing to say, because it's the total fucking pop punk pizza mentality of like, hey, my hometown. But like, yeah, our hometown does not give a shit about any of that sort of stuff. And, you know, the Color Morale did get really good reception early on. That was kind of, you know, that was cool, 'cause they would play big shows and whatnot. Just the city as a whole. Yeah.
I did want to say though, mm-hmm. Rockness Sound,
That's a venue that we shout out.
That's a house that is doing stuff. JD Racky Priest.
Yeah.
But are you just like when you guys are going? Like, is that how you're finding out mostly about music through these house shows? Back in the day.
Back in the day, absolutely. Yeah. It was.
Or did you have like a place where you were like, you know, like record shop or something like that, that someone was showing you some stuff? Or
we didn't really. I mean, because Culture Shock came around a little bit later. Culture Shock handled our release show and is like one of our big, we now have like multiple record stores that kind of service some of the music that we listen to. The older record stores, I feel like maybe caught on a little late. So
yeah,
we didn't really, I mean, we just fucking used LimeWire and just people word of mouth, just, hey, this band's sick, you know, or, you know, you go out to a show and that's why it blew up.
When Two Minute Machine came out, I was just, okay, Cowboy, this is sick. And
Death, that was like the beginning of deathcore and shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All that. So you guys had an album drop a couple months ago.
Yep.
Right? We'll shift it back to your content. how was writing that and releasing it? How did that all come about?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that?
Like, were those songs you've been camping on for a little bit? Or
yeah.
So was it, that's your first release on a, I don't want to say like a major or anything like that, but like a label?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a mashup of our old record too, At Peace. The last three songs on it are songs we had recorded the year before. And then the other four, I think we wrote in like, I don't know, like a month or two. And then,
we
got inspired by a lot of like personal stuff that was going on and banged out four songs that we actually didn't hate and then scrapped a bunch of other ones. And then,
we write an obnoxious amount of songs. And so it was, I mean, some of the songs from A Side were written before, you know, At Peace, which we put out 2 years ago at this point. It's just one of those things where we just have just like gigabytes on gigabytes of just videos, audio recordings of just like cool riff, 6 minute song, maybe we can use 3 minutes of it, all this stuff. So right. It was just pulling stuff out of that and then figuring out, because we didn't know that it was going to be handled by anybody, figuring out, okay, how much can we like actually afford to record, you know, going back and forth, playing that out. But it is really cool that the older material did get included on it, because if you listen to the B-side, which is At Peace, we wrote it as a continuous play. So we wrote it, you drop the needle, and then the songs play into each other. And so we wrote it, and then we were just like, this doesn't fit on a 7-inch. And we don't want to have to flip it. And so what are we going to do? Like a one-sided 12-inch? That's extremely expensive, and we're not going to have the money for it because nobody knows who we are. So we kind of put it up, and we're just like, shit, all right, whatever. We'll just do tapes. So we did that, but then when Deathwish contacted us and was like, what do you guys have, like, loaded up? And I was like, well, we just got through with four new songs. And they were just like, okay, well, 7-inches are, like, not really doing so well, so what can we do? And I was like, actually, this is perfect, because I've always wanted that to be, that was purposefully written to be played on a record player. And then we just went, oh, we're stupid and don't know how to do math and time it correctly. So, it worked out really well. Yeah. And that's part of just the relationship with them, has been very positive, very, you know, artist forward thinking, and just trying to make sure that whatever we want this band to be, it ends up being. So, cool. Yeah.
What was the title of the record again?
A Brief Memoriam.
Yeah, Brief Memoriam. Okay, cool. Yeah, and you can stream that anywhere. You can purchase it from your website.
Yeah.
You have vinyl out for it.
We do.
Mm-hmm. I almost bought one.
Almost.
It was like one of those weird variants, like one of your variants, I think, was it white or gold?
Well, I heard you're getting back into collecting CDs, too, so we have CDs if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
Good marketing pitch,
damn.
Get
back into both of those things. flexing my $3 CD bin diving skills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You big physical people?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's like trading cards, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice to have like a record and have full size artwork. I feel like a lot of people miss out on that when they just downloaded a code, you know.
One of my things that I really took for granted was probably the CD book.
Yeah,
you got a CD and stuff. And even though that like people didn't really like vinyl had the like the audio superiority, obviously.
Yeah.
And then people would like shit on CDs, but now with streaming, because I stream music all the time, the quality is garbage. And when you put a CD on, you're like, oh my god, it's so much fuller and louder in general.
Yeah.
So, yeah, once I started, I was like, fuck it, dude, I should get some CDs. And
yeah. totally. I have so many tapes. I don't have a cassette player.
Yeah.
But I've got
the cheapest things to get.
Yeah, yeah. And I get tossed stuff here and there, and I'm just like, I mean, I'm not gonna say no. And then also it's just kinda cool to have little things of, you know, each little thing that I've got from like the road and whatnot is just, mm-hmm. Oh, this was, you know, we crashed at this person's house. This was some great, you know, fucking grindcore band or screamo band or whatever. Mm-hmm. We or some noise project that we stayed at this person's place and whatever, and you know.
So is your house like a total hoarder house type situation?
Oh my god, yeah, my girlfriend would laugh her ass off right now if she heard that. We're both pretty bad with that.
Walk through the aisle of stacks of memorabilia, please.
Yeah, yeah.
I tried counting up like all the records I have, and I think it was like it's north of 300, and I don't have any storage space for it, so they're all just like some of them are just laying out, and I feel really bad about it.
Yeah, well, it'll happen. Yeah. So do you like tapes, or is it just the ease of the tapes? Because like if you're not playing them, I think, because I just talked to Chris about it because mm-hmm. we were talking about records too, but I think that's the worst audio.
Yeah, yeah. There's a charm to low fidelity, yeah. I guess. The same way as like every fucking Instagram filter that you see now is like, oh, it's like VHS, bro. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
It's
there's
like,
a lot of like good video being turned into like really shitty video with yep. the lines and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really like cassettes because it's something that as a band you can afford without any backing at all, you know?
Yes.
So
yeah.
There's so many amazing bands that, you know, will never be able to press vinyl because they don't have any sort of backing. But almost everybody can do cassettes, and I think that's really cool.
Whoops.
Yeah.
To have, like, physical copies of something, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How expensive... I don't know. I haven't printed a CD in forever, so I don't know how expensive it is to press a CD, but...
Usually it's a... How? For CDs? I don't know. $2 per or something like that?
Well, that's...
I know cassettes are $1 per, usually.
Interesting. I know there's a big push or a big, like, thing now for limited cassettes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's, like, the rage currently in the scene and just stuff like that, which is cool. I do think that going back to like a physical copy, which is weird because I think most kids growing up now are like afraid to pirate stuff. But it's weird because like I came from an era where it was like, fuck that shit. Kazaa Lite, WinMX, Napster and all that
yep.
shit, LimeWire
yep.
and all that. We were downloading Nini and everything, which I can't say or not say I do still. But yeah, I get around, you know. So like when I find out that kids don't know how to like get music or something like that, because I don't know. Not that I'm against pirating or for pirating, I more am for it though.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just like ease of access thing. I think like the music, the art is the music. So like if I wanted to really support your band, I'd come see you and buy stuff because I think
because
you're really just buying like. Record label stuff, unless a band is putting it out themselves, which then I can respect, and then I purchase their stuff from them, even if it's digital download stuff. But
yeah, actually, funny story. Our record got pirated and was thrown up on one of those like leak websites or something, like maybe a day before it dropped or something like that. And I wasn't even mad about it. I was like, well, yeah, cool. What? Somebody pirated our record?
Yeah.
The fuck?
It's like a level of coolness.
Yeah.
Cloutness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, that's a conversation I never thought I'd have with anybody.
Yeah, so, like, do you think it helps, though?
Yeah, I don't care. I mean,
streaming is the easiest way to find music now, like, going back to that.
But the way that, like, I mean, because you're a band, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You hear your record before you put it out, and you probably want it to sound a certain way.
Mm.
And, like, you write songs for vinyl, or to be streamed, or not streamed, sorry, to be played in succession, like with a needle drop and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just didn't know if, like, because if you download a song, you can download it in more higher resolution than you could like a streaming song. So,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, streaming obviously is, and you do get a kickback from that. If
yeah,
like the pennies you'll probably get from it, but but the person who pirates it could get like a fuller version. So you know, I just didn't know if that was like a benefit maybe to you. To have someone come to your show or this, that, and the other.
I think it's mostly a good thing just because so many more people will stream something before they buy it. And if they mm-hmm. like it, then they will come out. And we are definitely like a live-centric band. Like, we've only done a couple releases, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we've toured so much and, I don't know. I think if streaming gets more people to come to a house show, then that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's buying a Spotify subscription specifically to listen to us. Like, that's whatever. You're gonna listen to us in passing if you pirated our digital stuff. I mean, that sucks, I guess, but like, yeah, we're out like a whole 33 cents or something like that if you did buy the album for a dollar on Bandcamp or something like that. You know, it's whatever. But if you see us and buy us beer and feed us and like buy our record, that is infinitely more support that we will get.
Come to the show and buy a sweatshirt. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steal your record. I'll steal the record for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Steal the record, learn the lyrics, and then yell them at me, and then buy our shit. So.
Yeah. It was crazy. I started seeing articles that were like kids these days or people these days are more afraid to pirate things. Because I feel like it would be like the norm at this point. Because
Yeah.
You know, the whole pirate thing with Napster, when that popped off, I remember people getting really freaked out. And it never really... I was a kid, so it didn't bother me. I just kept doing it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I blindly kept doing it. My dad never got arrested, so I figured, oh, fuck it.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's see. It's a little after 8. We probably should wrap it up a little bit and then head to the Little House venue.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Well, do you have any... well, let's get some last-minute shit off of you. What's the dream tour for you guys?
Ooh, I don't know. Do you know that one?
Do I know that one?
Do you know that one off the top of your head?
Does it have to be a band in our genre, or can it be like any band?
I mean, any band that your band would flourish with. You know what I mean? Like something that could actually happen, but like as a dream. Still.
Don't say something like Led Zeppelin or something.
Oh no, I was gonna say something to piss Nick Funson off. I want a job for a cowboy to do Sun Eater in full, and I want us to open.
They fight for hours over the best job for a cowboy album, and it's great because we're a three-piece, so I just sit in the back seat and just laugh because I'm
do
like,
you listen
I mean,
to Job for a Cowboy? Is that your
not
thing?
Really. It's okay. I mean, they put it on. They've never been like, oh, yeah, this is JFAC, and I'm like, no, this is bad. I'm like, they put it on. I'm like, no, this is sick. And then he demands that we put on the one with the bass super high in the mix. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, cool. This sounds great, too. And Clemenson just fucking hates it. He hates
so
that
like
record.
The inside of the van should be like a some TV show with all you guys arguing all the time about...
Yeah, I'd film their arguments for our fucking Instagram
friends.
Story.
We just tolerate each other. So.
Yeah, if you ever see us put up an Instagram story after, like, 3 a.m., it's probably them in somebody's kitchen while they're trying to go to sleep, just fucking throwing down about it.
It's like, yeah, the meme or the video meme of the people like yelling about Glinda the Good Witch or some shit.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah.
There's a night on the store. We were up till like 5 or 6 in the morning. Everyone else was asleep, and we're just shouting because we want to cook spaghetti in the van. And Clem doesn't want us to cook spaghetti in the van because it will be messy.
Right.
So,
yeah, people
he's not gonna defend himself either, right?
No,
now.
He's well, not. He's
get it all out. Now. Get it all out.
Yeah. We have a lot of goofy little things like that. I think people.
How long are you guys? Obviously, you guys know each other for 10+ years.
Mm-hmm.
Is the third party? Do you guys know him like that as well, or just some schmuck that you hired for?
We like started hanging out with Nick like 5 years ago, and mm-hmm. like we honestly, like all kidding aside, do hang out like every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, we're brothers, like 100%.
He's not gonna defend himself, so we're gonna take a shit on him.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. But yeah, it's I think people often listen to the record, see some of the, I guess, visual aesthetics of it and whatnot. And then they have like an image of who we are, and then they meet us, and it's like, yeah, the like Downbeat, the first song, like I'm picturing what it sounds like when my mom fucking died. Like it is just 100% just like visualizing that everything. I fucking psych myself out and get into it. The second we're done, I want a shotgun, a beer, and party. Like, so we're just fucking, yeah, I don't know. We're goofballs.
That's what we have to be.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to fucking smile through the sadness, you know?
So what is the fucking band you want to tour with?
Fucking...
I'm sitting with it. What I said.
You're going to stick with that. Yeah. I'm going to say there was a band that is probably the most influential to this one called Diatro.
Mm-hmm.
They're from France. They broke up in like 2008, I think, or 2009. but they just repressed a record last year, which means they know that people are paying attention to them. And they play in other bands, so they're, like, still doing stuff. If that band gets together, I'm going to go to France, like, 100%. And
I feel you.
Yeah.
I got bands like that, I know.
Yeah, what's yours?
I don't want to talk about it. I've already talked about it a million times on this podcast. Last
oh, that's true.
I've already done
yeah.
dumb things for stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. I've done, yeah, I've flown multiple times to see them in multiple venues, multiple places. Giant waste of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It's not really, but it feels like it now looking back. But anyway, so... Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap it up and cut you. We'll head over to the house menu, and you, like I said, you can check out the that video on our YouTube, and that'll be up there at some point after this interview is up there. But anyway, yeah, thanks for coming on. Do you guys have any like new music coming out anytime soon? I know because the albums came out a couple months ago, but like you said, there's some old songs on there, so I didn't know if you had any like EPs coming out or.
Yeah, not at the moment. We're currently writing the next one. So it'll be out eventually. I don't know when that is, but I know what date we're contractually obligated to deliver it. But
so it's gonna be with Deathwish whenever you do it.
That's yes, cool. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, 100%. We will be with them for a while.
Cool. Well, anything else you want to sign off with? Shout out anybody? I already did it earlier, but you know you can do it some more.
You good?
Yeah. Wrap it up. All right.
Just thanks for caring.
We'll try. We try.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.